Greetings, church leaders and followers of Jesus. Today on the Effective Church Leaders Podcast, we are continuing our series on community outreach with this episode entitled, Give Attention to Your Digital Presence. And we really do appreciate you joining us today. And as you likely already know, we are your hosts, Becky and Carrie Holton.
Yes, we are. And yes, listeners, as Becky mentioned, we're grateful you're with us today. And today we want to offer a few suggestions in this week's episode on how you might use the internet to increase your community outreach. And to begin, honey, I think we ought to address those church leaders who may have started their church's digital outreach during the pandemic and who may be wondering, maybe even hoping, that they could discontinue their online digital ministry now that the pandemic has waned. What do you think?
Yes, good idea. And you're right. Some of you may be thinking, even hoping, that your church no longer needs to have an online presence now that the COVID pandemic has lost some of its steam. You probably already know that we would encourage you to banish all thoughts of abandoning your digital ministry.
That's right.
So maybe the very first thing we want to say in this podcast is that indeed, your church needs an online presence with or without a pandemic.
Yes, sirree. Yes, sirree. Right. And of course, the reason, or at least one of the reasons, that your church needs an online presence is because that is where your audience is.
Mm-hmm.
The people that you are wishing to reach, they are online. Not only do you need to go where they are, but the internet has provided a wonderful modern-day opportunity to reach out to our communities with our message. You know, if the Apostle Paul were with us today, I cannot imagine that he would not use this medium for communicating the gospel.
I think I'm going to have a moment there. I'm picturing Paul on his donkey with an iPad, so let me keep moving here. But you're right. The internet presents churches with, it's just a tremendous opportunity that we have today. And I want to say more about something that you said, honey. You said that online is where your audience is, and I want to introduce our very first recommendation from that idea, and here it is. And it is the concept of picking your audience.
Good, good. Okay, well, talk to us about that.
Well, before churches consider, you know, what they want to do, what their digital strategies are going to be, and before they write content for their website or their social media platforms, and before they get deep in the weeds, they really need to ask this basic question. And that question is, whom do we want to reach? They really need to get specific about the audience they are trying to reach. And I would say they need to name the personas and get really specific.
Okay, good advice. So tell us, what do you mean by name the personas?
Well, we want them to create a profile of the individuals or the people, some kind of a picture of the group or the individuals that they're trying to reach.
Good.
What do the persons look like that you want to reach? For example, are they a young family with a couple of children? Are they unchurched people who don't know anything about Jesus? Is your persona the people who are interested in religion, who may be asking deep spiritual questions, or are they people who are completely disinterested in spiritual things? In other words, church leaders need to think about who they want to be in the seats of their church building. To whom are you trying to speak? Who is your audience? If you don't take this first step, identifying the people you want to reach, well, basically, you'll just end up throwing up on everybody and reaching no one. It's just a big shotgun method.
I think that's good advice. You know, in our speech classes at Oklahoma Christian, one of the first things that we were taught was, think about your audience.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's good advice. Select your audience. You know, I think we might think about this in connection with churches' websites, for example. You know, we've seen many a church website, and what seems clear to us is that the content on most of those websites is usually geared toward new people in town who are already part of a church's religious group.
Right, right.
In other words, many church websites that we have seen are not geared to reaching outsiders. They only tend to offer content that is primarily for insiders who may have just moved to town, for example.
Right. You know, and I'm always surprised to see how many websites forget to include the church's address. And that's a sure sign that they're not expecting anyone new to visit their assemblies.
Yes. And I've seen many church websites that say under construction or coming soon, or I've seen pages that are incomplete.
For long times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen many that are just not up to date. I saw a Facebook page recently, a church's Facebook page that was 21 months behind. I mean, the assemblies that were streamed there on that Facebook page were 21 months behind.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that too.
Yeah, of course, these are not good looks for churches who are wishing to attract outsiders.
Right. We've said that churches absolutely do need an online presence and that they need to be clear on their audience. That's our first recommendations we're giving.
Yeah, and that the people that they are trying to reach are outsiders, and that they need to be clear on just who they are trying to reach and what those people look like.
Absolutely. Okay, let's offer another suggestion.
Very good. Our next suggestion is to begin with the end in view.
Okay, let's put a little flesh on that one.
All right, sure. Well, what we mean by that is that church leaders need to consider what they are trying to accomplish with their digital strategies or online presence. I guess another way to say this is that you need to be clear on your objectives. What is it that you are trying to accomplish on your website or your social media platforms? Are you trying to get people to come to your Sunday services? You know, I think that may be a common, if unspoken, objective that church leaders may have for their websites or for their presence on Facebook or for the streaming of their worship services. Mm-hmm. They're hoping that more people will come to their actual services on Sunday morning.
Yes. I do like the suggestion of thinking about the objectives of an online presence. And, you know, I don't believe the objective should be just to get as many pair of eyeballs to see the content. I don't think that's a real worthy objective. Do you?
I'm agreeing with you.
I know sometimes churches try to measure how many people log onto a streamed worship service, for example. And they may say, you know, we had 400 people watch our online worship service last week. And, you know, I'm not sure that we can really say that 400 people watched the worship service.
You know, there's a way to measure that.
Is there?
There are metrics available. You can actually determine how long people stay online.
Good to know.
Yeah, you can determine how long they stay online, who comes online, all of that is. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Sometimes the only metric church leaders use is, okay, how many clicked on, no matter how long they were on.
And that's good to know that there were some people at least passing by.
Sure.
And I think it's very commendable that they're streaming their worship services, but I don't know if just getting that number up is a worthy objective, you know, just to have a certain number of views or logins.
Yeah. Let's encourage our listeners to think about some other worthy objectives for an online presence or mm-hmm. maybe for streaming their worship service or what have you.
Yeah, we've talked so much about discipleship and, well, we'll come back to that.
Yeah. Let me offer this illustration. I read about someone who was interested in gardening. She wanted to find others in her community who were also interested in gardening. And all she was really interested in was building connections and relationships with those around her who had the same interest in that particular hobby. So she went on Facebook and started a gardening interest group. And I think in that illustration, there's something useful for church leaders.
Yes.
The objective is really not to see how many followers you can get. The objective is not really to see how many eyeballs you attract to your website or to your Facebook page or to your streaming service. Maybe a valued objective would just be to discover those around you who might be interested in spiritual things if they knew where to look or where to go, and then to build connections with those people. Maybe your objective would simply be to build connections with others.
Mm-hmm. And if you've got that many people logging in, that's a good thing because then you can begin to build connections with them. Whatever the objective for the online presence, I do think churches need to be clear about what those objectives are. and tell the church what the objective is. Just as they need to be clear about their audience, the people they wish to reach, they need to have clarity regarding the objective for the online or digital presence. So know what you're trying to accomplish. In other words, begin with the end in view. Don't just put things out there, something that you've run across that's a good article or something that's a nice statement. Respond to specific objectives and be really focused about what you're doing.
Right. Only then are you ready to think about strategies
right.
and digital content. Once you know the audience you are trying to reach online, and once you know what your objective is, then you are ready to consider strategies to reach those people. So the next step would be to ask, okay, what are the right strategies to reach the people that we want to reach?
Right. And the strategies will differ based on your audience and your objective.
That's right.
So for example, if you want to reach people in your community who up to this point have been disinterested in spiritual things, what strategies can you develop to cultivate their interest? It might be some, YouTube content on more practical matters like relationships or parenting or dealing with stress or how to handle money. Some topic related about how to live a better life, but using principles from scripture or teachings from Jesus. And I think a lot of people really are looking for how to connect with Jesus. So how do you help them connect to something spiritual in their life?
I like that.
How do you help them do that? They may know that's a need, but they have no idea how to do that. That becomes a strategy.
So the content that you put online might be to help them connect with Jesus.
Absolutely.
To take their first steps toward him.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I like that. So the message here, folks, is to choose content and strategies that will help you reach the people you want to reach and that will accomplish the objective that you have in mind. And may I say just here that if your objective is to get people to come to church, I'm not sure that just putting the whole service online is the best strategy. I know you'll want to think about this. That may be the last thing I would try. That would be good for those who are sick or shut in at home, but it may not be good for those outsiders whom you would like to see come to church. It might not be good for them to just see the whole worship service online. That may not be the best way to reach them.
Yeah. In fact, think about it this way, church leaders. Everything you put online should be helping people take the next steps that you want them to take that will help bring them closer to Jesus. Likely an outsider is not going to watch an online service and then decide to show up one Sunday. The first step might be to let someone know online, you know, that it's okay to ask spiritual questions. It's okay to have doubts. Another step might be to make a connection with that person. An objective might be to get their name or phone number, and then the next step might be to provide content online that is helpful so that the individual or family shows them that this church cares about their community and about them and about helping people in their community.
I think those are good suggestions, honey. And what we are saying is that we really need to try to view what we put online through the eyes of an outsider or stranger, someone who is not yet a follower of Jesus.
Yes, yes.
Of course, this is true if we are trying to increase our community outreach by using the tools that the internet provides to reach people who may not have a clue about what our message is.
Mm-hmm. I really like what you said about trying to see things through the eyes of an outsider. And sometimes that's hard for us because we just have one filter that we typically use, and we have to intentionally think about what it would feel like if someone heard or saw this that didn't have a relationship with Jesus. Along those lines, may I offer another suggestion that is related to online content and along with the different eyes concept, and that is don't put insider messages in outsider spaces. Filter everything you are doing through the lens of your mission field. For example, you don't want to say on your website, our mission is to reach the lost and to save them. That's insider language. It may either confuse outsiders or just straight up turn them off. You need outsider content and outsider language on your website. It's not easy to avoid churchy language, that's for sure. But the church's website, that is the place to try really hard to clean it up and not do it there.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Okay, honey, let's offer a final suggestion, and here's the one we have in mind. Put just one person in charge of your church's online presence.
Yes.
And online content. Now, you may want to hire someone. You may need to hire someone.
Right.
Or you may have someone in your church who can do this for you. But whoever it is, you want and need someone who will supervise the content that you will put online. You will want someone who will align the content that comes out of the various ministries, for example. You want to speak with one voice, and so you will need one person to supervise the content that is distributed online.
This is such an important one, I think, that you just brought up, because you really want a person, a leader, who thinks about online strategies and evaluates online strategies and abandons what is not working and doubles down on what is working that is aligned with the church's mission.
Right. Well, I think we're saying you want someone who will be a coordinator. You want someone who will coordinate the messages that are coming out of these different ministries. For example, the children's ministry may want to send out a message to the community, the student ministry. There might be some other ministry that wants to send out a message. And you're going to need someone who will coordinate these messages so that the church is speaking with one voice. You know, I think this is a podcast I really would like to develop if I could get on a hobby horse for just a minute. We need better coordination in most churches,
is my guess. And I'd add the word collaboration.
And collaboration, yes. But I think our history is that we tend to let anybody do whatever they want to do, draw up any plan they want to make, start up any program they want to start, and there's very little coordination. And so the ministry of the church is disjointed and is spread all over the place, and I'm getting off on a tangent here, so I'll come back to it. I'm just saying you want to pick one person who will coordinate and oversee and supervise your online ministry. Mm-hmm.
You really want someone that's going to champion the digital outreach ministry, but you want them to be a team player.
Right.
You want them to be a collaborator who's going to be aligned with the church mission and vision, and that they're going to work together and even bring people together who are trying to say the same thing or make them aware if things are planned on the wrong same days or, you know, things like that. And one thing we might want to bring up here too is that oftentimes there's a person in the church that may say, I know how to do the digital piece, but then they get busy and then, well, 21 months goes by and nothing gets posted. It might be a good idea to have a job description for this particular digital outreach ministry and maybe even agree, as we've already mentioned, to pay them something and that there's someone that supervises or works with them and collaborates with them so that the job is completed. Because if someone is doing it, you know, free, gratis, it's harder to hold accountability.
Could be. And that's a great thought, is that you need to be able to hold someone accountable for doing the job that they said they would do. That's especially important in online ministry and digital content. Because like you said, you don't want to get 21 months behind.
Well, you go online and you see a church that's 21 months behind, and I have seen other churches the same way, 2 years behind, 6 months behind. And what it tells me is that if I use outsider eyes, that this church is not up to date. They're not valuing the people that are coming in online. They don't see us as important, and that they may not be very organized, or, you know, it's just a negative message.
Like they might not be taking seriously the work that they're doing.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, listeners, I think we've given enough food for thought on this podcast, so we'll start wrapping this up. Is there anything you want to add before we close? Like, I know the answer to that, but I'll go ahead and ask.
Yeah, just one more thing. You know, honey, I believe this whole area, a church's online presence, their digital content, it all can be rather daunting.
Really can.
Yeah. I mean, most church leaders, I think, might be intimidated by the very thought of using the internet for the church's purpose. It's like, where do I start? What do I do next? It's like a foreign language to some people. So I would say to church leaders who may feel this is a daunting subject, just start small and start simply. Start with a basic website, one that is designed with outsiders in mind, not insiders. And yes, by all means, consider the audience that you wish to reach with your online content. And then start small with that content. Don't go all in until you know where you are going, why you are going there, and who will be responsible for supervising the content, the website, the social media. Start small and make it simple. But by all means, use the digital tools that God has given you. There are some great opportunities there for community outreach, and churches really do need to take advantage of what the Lord has given us.
Mm-hmm. And if I could add something else to that good thought, is that more than likely there are some younger folks in your congregation that know all the insides and outsides of digital, of a digital ministry, and they also know how to present content that you could collaborate with, and not only would they be involved in the outreach of the church, they can peruse their gifts and talents that God has given them. And, you know, leaders don't have to do everything.
Right. Okay, so, good.
Well, before we close, honey, let's mention that next week on February the 13th at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, we will be hosting a free and live webinar on vision casting for your church. We will be discussing the topic, what to do if your church leaders don't see the need to cast a vision for your church. We believe churches need a vision for the future, but not all church leaders believe this. So what can be done to say no to the status quo? Looky there, we rhymed. So that's what we want to discuss next week. To register for the free webinar, go to our website, effectivechurchleaders.com, and sign up there. We would love to have you, and we really hope you'll come along and be a part of this very important topic.
Yes, yes, yes. All right. Well, we'll plan to return in 2 weeks with another episode on how to increase community outreach. And please plan to join us then, and go now to our website and sign up. Sign up now for this live free webinar that Becky was talking about. It's next week, February 13th, 11 o'clock Eastern. We want you there. Until we're with you again, God bless you all.
Bye, everyone.